she had that way of sort of killing the enemy with kindness, and yeah. there was no, you can't beat that. For her to get a law degree in her 50s, I can't imagine. I just turned 50 last summer. I cannot imagine. I cannot.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Can I get a little bit of that common sense?
Welcome to another edition of the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. Today's pretty special because we have a guest with us. It's Anne Schlafly Corey, who is the daughter of Phyllis Schlafly, who is like the ultimate feminine. I'm not going to say feminist because she would not like that, but the ultimate feminine woman probably ever. And Phyllis Schlafly is known for a million different things, not the least of which is her stopping the ERA from becoming ratified. And now there's a new Hulu/FX docu-series. I mean, I don't even like to use the word docu in that.
It's not docu.
Fiction. It's
they
fiction.
Made it up.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear all about that.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. So that has just been released. We have not had the opportunity to see it. Mm-hmm. I really want to, simply because it would have been helpful just in order to prepare for this conversation, but also because of the controversy it's created.
Yeah.
And Kate Blanchett plays your mom. And from what I've understood about this series, it sounds like you had first heard about it a couple years ago and had wanted to contribute, right? You'd wanted to participate in the production and give an account of what your mom was like.
And I feel like you'd be the perfect person for them to talk to if they wanted to get like sort of a personal account of what she is like or was like, you know. It's like, let's talk to her daughter.
That they're interested in accuracy and they didn't already come to the production with their own agenda. And it's clear by what the producers have said that they wanted to showcase this story in order to push their side of the story. They weren't. They wanted to create an image and rewrite history and paint my mother as some kind of cold, cruel mommy dearest type.
Oh my God! How that has to be so awful. Like, just as a daughter watching that, first of all, like, because I'm assuming you sat in your home and watched this show and then watched your what is supposed to be your mom. And like, what is that even like when you first saw it?
Well, I didn't come to watching it with any high expectations of to be gratified by it. But the other day I was talking with one of my very left liberal friends who said to me, and she hadn't seen the show, and she said, well, I hope they at least got your mother's charm right. I realized that's entirely what they missed. They painted her without charm. And for anyone who ever knew her, a big part of her success and her achievements was due to the fact that she was charming. She was inspirational. She looked you straight in the eye. She had integrity. People liked being around her. And to eliminate that part of who she was is to tell a false tale, because you end up watching this and say, well, gee, how is it that she won?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
I've seen countless videos of your mom. I mean, not the least of which, like the appearance on Donahue and her famous debate with Betty Friedan. And that, I mean, she had that way of sort of killing the enemy with kindness. And there was no, you can't beat that. I mean, there's no way to argue against someone who's literally having a meltdown in front of you and calling you names. And then your mom's approach was always to just say, I'm so glad you're saying that, because now everyone can see your meltdown.
And charm.
Well, she was happy and joyful and an optimistic warrior.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think that's true of conservatives in general? I mean, because it just seems, when you realize that your mom's way of, you know, trying to push her agenda and get people to know why ERA was bad, for example, her way of doing that was with baking cookies, right? And bringing people in and being kind.
Yeah.
Where the feminists were, you know,
screeching,
and being
and
mean, chaining themselves to walls,
and not being very kind. Yeah,
I think it comes down to whether you view yourself as a victim or not. And the left ideology has been that we are oppressed, we're victims, and the patriarchy is to fault, and only government can solve our problems. Now, the conservative viewpoint is the exact opposite. It is the glass is half full, and we can achieve whatever we want to achieve if we put our mind to it. It's an optimistic outlook that is not reliant on somebody else or some government to provide us the way.
Yeah, because we say that a lot, you know, whatever medium that we're on, we always talk about how, you know, the feminist now, the present day feminist is always talking about like how they are relying upon some sugar daddy government. And we're like, isn't that the very opposite of what a feminist should be? You know, so it is very confusing, I would imagine, or it should be confusing for young women now when they're looking at feminism. They should be questioning what feminism is nowadays. But a lot of them are, because I think a lot of them fall into that trap of I'm a victim, kind of like what you're saying. You're hitting the nail on the head, and it's really disturbing.
And it goes back to the whole cradle to grave philosophy that so many leftists have. I mean, and feminists included. They just think that somebody else is supposed to provide what they can't do on their own.
Yeah.
And your mom was so different. I mean, she was a complete opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So what else? I mean, because the series, or whatever they want to call it, the series that is on Hulu called Mrs. America, which stars Kate Blanchett as your mom, it's not just your mom that's not portrayed the right? I mean, it's also the way that they portrayed your father, too.
They did. They made my father into an insensitive brute. And of course, what my mother said is that the marriage, the compromises that come with marriage and family are worth it. That the pleasures that you get, the lifetime pleasures you get, are worth the compromise. And instead of showing what their marriage really was, which was two peas in a pot, you know, they both aided and helped each other. What it shows is my mother is a pawn, a victim of this insensitive brute. And I think that is a fundamental misunderstanding of what a successful marriage is. And if your interest is in tearing down the institution of marriage because it's bad for women, well, then you have to show a bad marriage, which is what they try to do. And so, you know, Hollywood loves to have sex scenes. And what they show is that the sex within marriage is nasty, brutish, and short, and the sex outside of marriage is thrilling and exciting. And I think that is part of their agenda of what they want to show. And I think it is not particularly accurate or helpful to anybody.
And you wrote a piece recently, which we published on our website, about why Gloria Steinem has been so quiet. I mean, you've been pretty vocal about how you feel about how your mom was portrayed. But it was surprising to you that, because Gloria Steinem is obviously a character in this docuseries as well, and she's not saying anything about her portrayal.
Yeah, it's interesting. And why do you think that is?
Well, nearly everybody else portrayed in this drama is dead. And the only main figure who's still alive today is Gloria Steinem. And she is lauded in the series. I mean, she is this beautiful, you know, poster girl for feminism. But she's also shown as betraying her boyfriends, vain, superficial. And I think it's curious that she's not dived in and talked about it. The producers did reach out to her prior to production, even though they chose not to reach out to me.
God, that is unreal.
I didn't know that they had reached out to her.
Yeah.
Because in your case, or in your mom's case, rather, they were saying, well, we don't want to be beholden to any, you know, preconceived notions from the family that knew her best.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Then
and yet they reach out to
they
her.
They reach out to her.
That what is, in the world?
Oh, my God. Gosh, that's just so
well, it just shows what side they're on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all know always what side they're on in Hollywood, right? But I mean, it's maddening.
And it's odd to me, too. It struck me, too, that your mom and Gloria Steinem never actually debated. Why is that? Is that because Gloria was afraid?
Gloria Steinem was afraid to debate Phyllis Schlafly. Gloria Steinem did not want to be on the stage with her. And Gloria Steinem did not have the intellectual chops to deal with these real issues.
Yeah.
And I would have been scared to debate your mom, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because she was a force. Man, she was an absolute force. The debate that she did have with Betty Friedan, which is famous now because it just shut Betty Friedan down, was, I mean, Did your mom ever reach out to Gloria Steinem to say, bring it on? Or was that always like an understood refusal by Gloria that she didn't want to debate her?
I think there were many times that third parties tried to set up a debate between the two, but Gloria Steinem always refused.
Wow.
Wow.
That is right. So interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the, I mean, because there's so many, I know you've said this is essentially a work of fiction, but what are the biggest misconceptions other than the fact that they lost your mom's charm and that they mischaracterized your mom's marriage? What are some of the other really bad, wrong inaccuracies from that?
I mean, those series? Are two big doozies.
Those are big, pretty big ones.
But are there other things?
Well,
that you
it's
saw?
The way they portray the followers of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, their loving treatments are given to a wide number of feminists on the other side, including minor character feminists. But the conservative women who were opposed to the Equal Rights Amendment, most of them in this movie are fictional characters. They couldn't mm-hmm. be bothered to learn the real story behind these extraordinary women. And when they did use the name of real life women who are now deceased, they have completely changed who they were and made them into buffoons. So I think the treatment that they have done of the followers of Phyllis is really quite an oversight, because although my mother has often said that she single-handedly defeated the Equal Rights Amendment, well, she did it because millions of women liked her message. And it's the real story is in the interest of those women, because she duplicated herself. She delegated and she provided the fuel, and they went out and started lobbying their state legislators for the for what they were interested in. And they started their own organizations, and they had started their own publications, and they wrote books, and they got active. I mean, for example, just in just cursory thinking about it, three of her top lieutenants got prime jobs in the Reagan administration. So my understanding is at the end of the show makes a big deal that allegedly Phyllis lost because Reagan didn't appoint her to anything. Well, Reagan appointed a lot of her lieutenants to a lot of different positions, thus duplicating her work all over the Reagan administration.
And I hate that those women weren't portrayed, like just like your mother, they weren't portrayed as they are, you know, or as they were in real life. And there are family members just like you who are watching these women, or, you know, who they were supposed to be on the screen. It just, these people have no recourse. Like they just, you know, they're just watching.
Yeah, I just had a phone call from a widower of one of the women that they portray, Rosemary Thompson, who was a force in her own right. And she is treated as such a caricature, like really a laughingstock in the movie. And he just learned about it. And he was so upset at how
I bet.
His late wife had been portrayed.
I can't imagine being like a daughter or a husband or a cousin or just somebody who's there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, I mean, as a public figure, you just get parodied, you get mocked. I mean, that's something that
kinda just makes me
so it's very
angry.
Simple.
We're used to
as
that
a
on
public
a much
figure,
lower level.
You get parodied and mocked if you're on the right. If you're on the left and a public figure, the treatment is quite.
Oh, we absolutely know that. It just doesn't make me any less angry. But it just, I feel for those people, because those were people just like your mom who, you know, had such substance, and then they're just reduced to, like you said, a caricature. And it's just not right.
It isn't right. And this is the recourse, right? For you to speak out as much as possible about how inaccurate that show is.
And I think there's a benefit here, because we are able to introduce this story to young women today. And it is a fabulous story, because what you have is a woman who lived in a small town in the middle of nowhere, who never held a government job, never elected to anything. And yet 4 years after her death, we're still talking about her. There are reasons why.
Oh, she has an amazing legacy. And for her to get a law degree in her 50s, I can't imagine. I just turned 50 last summer. I cannot imagine. I cannot. I mean, the thought of going back to school just makes me ache.
It's awesome.
She was amazing. And really, so active right up until the time of her death. So, and that leads me to a question about her, because I know she wrote a book about the conservative case for Trump. So right before his election, she was interested in supporting him, which I know put her at odds with several people in the Eagle form, including you. So what was that like? And what was her thinking about the election? What do you think she would think of Trump's presidency now?
She supported Donald Trump because she wanted a winner. And yeah. Donald Trump did win the election, and it was a crucial election. There's no doubt about it. And Trump today, I would say that he's done some good things, and he's done some things that I've disagreed with that I'm sure she would disagree with, too. I think all conservatives are shocked at the outrageous spend of the federal budget today. The amount of money spent and it continues to be spent is not conservative, and that is putting this horrible debt burden on our future generations.
Yeah.
And I know as you chair the organization, you know, that she had such influence on and created, that's the message, right? I mean, that's the message you try to convey to conservative young women who are learning about or who have been followers of or mentored by your mom. What was it like? I know you were a young girl, but what are your memories of growing up with her during her battle against the ERA?
Well, it was exciting. I was on the front line, and it was, her office was in our home, and we had three phone lines that were constantly ringing day and night with calls from supporters or the press. There was always something going on, and it was a beehive of activity.
Since you were young, I mean, did you have girls your age or you know, young women who are maybe a little bit older than you who were like, this isn't right, and that maybe that you were in battle with because of the things that your mother thought, did they try to battle with you over those things?
Well, I think when you're young and you go to college, you always encounter a lot of people with a lot of different philosophies. And there's a bit of a give and take and debate anytime you're in a college situation. But I've always found that when I encountered people on the other side, they would rather turn and walk away. They were not interested in engaging because the left has always been interested in superficial diversity, but never diversity of ideas. And what I found throughout growing up is the people who agreed with me always wanted to talk, and the people who disagreed with my mother turned and walked away. They never, ever wanted to engage.
Isn't that interesting?
I love, too, that your mom was like a pioneer when it came to organizing, the word that we now use, right? Especially in political circles, and which became so popular with Obama. But she was a true master of it. And I love reading the stories about her and the way that she brought in so many people to her way of thinking. And you're talking about the phones ringing off the hook. I can only imagine.
God, your house probably was pretty awesome.
It was very,
growing
very
up
well.
There.
A key to that is to be available and to be ready and willing to talk to people because you never know where your next opportunity is going to come from. And this is a crucial lesson that I learned early on from my mother about availability, because our phone number was always listed in the phone book. Anybody could call us. Anybody could contact us. And being available and not having layers of bureaucracy is very critical in order to build a success, because you want people to think that they can make a difference. And so you want to be an encourager to them.
Yeah, I love that.
I know. Availability is key. And that's the spirit that you get when you watch videos of your mom and the conversations that she would have. The charm that you mentioned earlier it just oozes out of her. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Are there things that you remember in terms of growing up with your mom and obviously her very strong traditional beliefs? Were there things that you disagreed with? Did you ever fight about different policies, or did you have different ideas than your mom?
Well, I think when you have a parent-child relationship, you're always arguing about something, even if it's just curfew.
I was going to say, because I think of even my 10-year-old, and I mean, there's going to be spats there.
They're battles.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'm talking about ideological differences that you may have had with her.
I think I was so steeped in the Equal Rights Amendment battle in the 1970s and what the true ideals of feminism were at that time, which, although this movie likes to paint it as being about equal pay, but it was never about equal pay. It was about making no distinction on the basis of men and women, making men and women interchangeable in every situation. And I think you learn pretty early on that women lose if men and women are interchangeable in every situation, whether it's on the athletic field or...
Yes.
Because women prioritize different. And if you don't recognize that there are fundamental fundamental biological differences between men and women, and you think that we can do, I mean, as much as we'd like to say, anything you can do, I can do better, in reality, there are key differences, and these should be celebrated, not erased.
Yeah. We have a whole other podcast on transgenders and women's sports, and how
And that's the key word, is that women are being erased.
Yeah. And it drives me crazy. God,
you know, nothing
crazy about that.
This argument in the 1970s ever heard of the word transgender. I mean, that was an inconceivable idea. And now transgender is being pushed in the name of equality. And that really hurts the most vulnerable women of all.
Totally. Yeah, and that's the thing. Right. We wonder where the feminists are on that, because you have basically men who are competing in women's sports, and who loses there? Well, it's the women. Mm-hmm. And so we're like,
of course.
Where the heck are they? Yeah. So we feel very strongly about that. And there are a lot
of even the men who want to put on a nightgown and go into a woman's shelter.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So where can people who may be new to your mom's story, where can they find out the truth? Where's the best place to send people to learn about the real Phyllis Schlafly and not the Kate Blanchett version?
So we put up a website called MrsAmerica.org, where we have posted real life videos of Phyllis Schlafly as opposed to the play acting videos. And we also have testimonials by people who actually knew and actually worked with her, and other articles and pieces about it. I understand that this week's episode, because they're still rolling out episodes that I haven't seen yet. Okay. And this week's episode deals with the violence that the feminists did to my mother. They actually got someone to throw a pie in her face. And I wrote an article about how she, you know, what happened when she was pied. And sure enough, right after I wrote that, a woman who was there wrote an email to me saying, and here is my eyewitness account. So there's kinds of stories of firsthand stories on MrsAmerica.org.
Okay,
awesome.
Perfect. We will definitely be sending people there. And Schlafly, Corey, it has been a
so
real
lovely.
Treat to talk to you. Thank you so much.
So lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Bye. Well, that was a treat.
Yeah, she's really cool.
I've thought about just trying out like the free trial of Hulu just to see this, because I am so curious about how they've mischaracterized her.
And I also have thought about going back to law school.
See, I've not done that.
I probably need to go ahead and just take my LSAT so I can take care of that.
I have 0% interest
I'm not yet 50. I think I could bang it out, you guys.
She waited until her 50s to go to law school.
Listen, there's still time.
That's amazing.
I think I may become a constitutional lawyer.
Oh my God.
You know, no
I don't have
deal.
That kind of drive, man.
No big deal.
I just don't have it. Thankfully, the people that we asked in our weekly podcast to put out a nice comment on the Apple iTunes platform to say whether, you know, how much they like our show, which we appreciate. If you haven't subscribed to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense cast, you should definitely do that. But thankfully, people who do have drive are the ones that actually leave us the reviews, which is so appreciated.
Gosh, I'm so glad they do that.
They're Cindy from Georgia.
Hey, Cindy from Georgia, what's up?
Cindy from Georgia said, I've been a huge fan of the COTR for many years. They are smart, beautiful, and extremely charming.
Wow. Oh my gosh, she used the word charming.
Cindy goes on to say, I sit at my desk with my earbuds and just giggling. I know the people I work with think I've lost my mind. They have made me proud again to be a conservative. Love you, ladies.
That's so sweet.
I love that so much.
I love that too.
There is one from Betty Poe 317. Who said, thank you for making sure free-range children have a voice. That relates back to our last week's podcast.
Yeah, we talked about free-range children because I was like, the 70s moms are they were free-ranging the kids.
Yeah.
I was a free-range kid.
Yeah, she says, I'm raising granddaughters and we had the discussion about people's names and failure and coming in last. At least you tried. Thank y'all from Southern Indiana, Betty Ann Powers.
Love it.
So nice. If you guys wouldn't mind leaving a review on the Apple iTunes podcast platform, that is so helpful to us. And you can say that you, however many stars you think we deserve on the Mock and Daisy Common Sense.
All the stars!
All five of them, please!
Yes. And find us at all the places. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Chicks on Right, on Facebook, Chicks on the Right. Our website, always, chicksontheright.com. And where else can they find us?
Well, we have a regular radio show on WIBC.com, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Eastern.
You can stream it.
Yeah, you can stream
it. Yeah, we got podcasts there. This podcast, obviously, you have to subscribe to. And all the places. Find us at all the places. Until next week, y'all, have a wonderful week.
Bye.